Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, folks, welcome back to another exciting episode of Dr. Tom and the Gold-Blooded King. My name is Daniel Hardy. I am known as the Gold-Blooded King around here. And we also have the good doctor himself, Tommy B, in the place to be. Mr. Bevilacqua, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, you know, brushing up on my Chinese history and international affairs. But other than that, you know, doing good, you know, hanging in there.
Well, you know, me personally, I'm just uninformed and, you know, I don't really know anything. But you know, I don't even want to get in trouble for talking about it because it seems like if you mention it at all, something bad happens to you. So I'm just going to say, you know, I support people doing people-ish things.
Put that on a bumper sticker.
But don't get me started on Wakanda. We have a very special guest today, someone who's very intimate, I think I would dare to say, about the Sacramento Kings franchise on the rise. He is the co-host of the King's Pulse podcast. I'd like to welcome Brendan Nunez to the podcast. Brendan, how are you doing today, man?
I am doing great, guys. I appreciate you inviting me on here. And yeah, like you said, I'm looking forward to what the Kings got going on right now.
Again, I don't know if you know this around here. We call them the Kangs. They have to, you know,
Kangs. Make a playoff again
before we'll get their name back. But speaking of the Kings, we have a certain player who used to play for Sacramento. In fact, I believe was drafted by Sacramento. And I'm wondering if you can give us some insight as he's like slated to be probably our starting center. His name is Willie Cauley-Stein. And right now he's in a walking boot, suffering an injury basically at the very, very start of the whole getting together for the team. So question, how good is he?
It depends on the night. Cauley-Stein has a whole lot of potential coming in. You know, he was this rim protector and rim runner. And, at one point he hurt his finger, got it jammed between the ball and the rim trying to block a shot. And it seemed like from there, he really stopped even putting his hands up on defense. The rim protection is very frustrating with him, but, yeah, you don't know what you're getting on a given night. And in the injury thing, I mean, he played 81 games last year, so usually that's not an issue. 73 a year before, 75 before that. He plays a lot of games. The injury thing usually isn't an issue. I'm not even sure what actually happened to him. But he'll get you a decent amount of rebounds because he is so athletic. He runs the floor amazingly. The Kings are already missing him being able to run the floor, and he has the hops to be able to throw down lobs, but it's just all inconsistency. You know, I mean, you're not going to get a crazy amount of points from him, but you're really hoping for the rebounding. And last year, his highest rebounding game was 18 rebounds on March 21st. And his lowest was two nights later where he got no rebounds. So it's just like, you don't know what you're getting night to night. And he's a decent player, but it's frustrating because you feel like he has so much potential more than what he shows.
I feel like you didn't have to go like look at a stat sheet for that stat. Like, it was burned in your brain somehow. Like, you were so disappointed with him.
Yeah, I had to dive back a little bit. But yeah, Kings fans were definitely a little frustrated and a little as kind with Cauley-Stein last year. I mean, like, you know, we'd love for him to be a Clint Capella type center, but he's out here saying that he's Porzingis, and that's a little scary.
You want to be a Clint Capella center, so you want him to be a fraud?
Wow. Dr. Tom coming in hot.
Just making sure we're all awake.
Yeah. Okay. We'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. Again, we're looking at somebody who can definitely run the floor, as you mentioned before. And we're trying to see if the Warriors truly are a franchise that can take a I guess you could say a guy not meeting expectations in another place. And if he can come to, you know, the Golden State, and we've seen guys like JaVale McGee, who, you know, had a career resuscitation behind the Golden
State. Got two rings. That's a career. Rings, yeah. That is the career.
And now he's hitting threes on us in preseason. How fun is that as a Laker?
Right.
But speaking of preseason, how are the Kings matching your expectations right now?
You know, real quick on the Cauley Stein thing with you guys, I think if any place is going to be able to do it, that it should be Golden State. There's a couple other good places, obviously, but like it's all effort for him. So I just can't wait to see Draymond just chew his ear off one time, and hopefully that'll do it. But
that usually ends well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, we'll see. But preseason for the Kings, there's only so much you can take from preseason, but seeing nice development. They're playing a little bit slower just because they don't have the crazy fast Cauley Stein, but I don't expect that to keep up. I think they're working on the transition or the half court offense, excuse me. Yeah, they're getting a lot of threes up. Walton said he wants them to get 35 a game, which is a lot of them, but they shot it at a good percentage last year. And, they look like a really deep team, so it's looking promising.
So I'm noticing in the box score is that Buddy Hield is definitely taking a large share of the scoring load. Is he your number one option?
Yeah. I mean, last year he was too. He was the leading scorer on the team, and the offense was fairly reliant on him. I mean, he's probably one of the best shooters in the league, aside from the two of the guys that are on your roster. So it's a good guy to rely on there, but I think that he lacks the creation, and they have that from other guys. So I think Buddy, when it comes to overall average, will probably end up number one again. But Fox is going to do a decent amount of scoring. Bagley's going to be a little bit of up and down would be my guess there. Some nights mm-hmm. where he's higher, other nights where you don't really see him too much. And then Bogdanovich, I think, will quietly be up there as well. But I would say Buddy's our number one, but it doesn't quite feel like it's like forcing Buddy or anything like that.
Yeah, I was, you know, the Kings between people know Hield, and obviously De'Aaron Fox has this explosiveness, and then you add a guy, you have Bagley and Harry Giles too, somebody who could play in the front court. But I was one, you know, those guys we maybe know whether they're big names or have established themselves in the league, but maybe who's a player that you're really interested in seeing, or you think it kind of is maybe not flying under the radar, but is someone that maybe not, you know, not everybody knows about or thinks too much about, but if you're tuning in to watch a Kings game on League Pass that you kind of want to pay special attention to?
Right now, so far, it's been Rashawn Holmes. Interestingly, mm-hmm. he's our backup big. And with the Harry Giles thing, he's been getting held out because they're saying knee soreness. You know, it's not very clear, but obviously as his injury yeah. passed, it feels like Holmes is going to be the backup too. And the team being a little bit frustrated with being a little bit slower when Holmes is out there compared to Dedmon, who I love Dedmon. Holmes is able to run the floor. Like, he has a very Montrezl Harrell type motor to him. So he just has a large impact in his role. So I think that's who I'd go with there. And then I also like Corey Joseph a lot as well. I could tell throw two defensive guys out there. That's definitely a type of ball that I like.
Ooh, you know, I'm feeling a little weird right now because you made some very astute responses up and down the roster, but you really didn't name one person who we as Golden State Warriors fans are quite familiar with. A certain former champion known as the Black Falcon. What's up with the lack of Harrison Barnes getting mentioned?
I loved when I found out that nickname, by the way. That was that was great. But no. I love Barnes. People are saying that it was an overpay in the offseason for what he got. I'm actually okay with it. The Kings that have the money to spend right now before the contracts get thrown at Fox and Bagley. Barnes does absolutely everything. I mean, he was above 40% from deep. He doesn't do anything amazingly, you know, but he plays solid defense. He moves the ball. He's just a really good all-around player. And the Kings had such a hole at small forward for a while there. So to not have to worry about that anymore is great.
So they had a hole, but then they like triple down on it and have a team that's like basically made up of small forwards now.
Dr. Tom, wait a minute. I have to preface this by saying that Dr. Tom is one of the most, like you said, Willie Cauley Stein kind of like disappointed you. Well, Harrison Barnes was like that on steroids for Dr. Tom because, you know, if you remember the way that the core was coming about, there was a big talk around town that, you know, we had Steph and Clay and Dre, but this HB guy from North Carolina might be the chosen one. So right. We had some very, very high expectations for him. And then, you know, he fulfilled many of them, but there were some where, you know,
yeah,
sometimes we're not desiring, you know?
Watch what happens to that three-point percentage when you get into the playoffs.
So,
yeah,
I guess.
Well, I don't know if the Kings are going to have to worry about how he performs in the finals.
Hey, you never know. But my question to you is, ideally, what is the perfect Harrison Barnes season look like for you?
I think a little bit of the same of what we saw last year, where it's he wasn't here long, but being able to hopefully slow down some of those elite small forwards and also being able to slide into that four spot. I think he's going to play some of the most minutes on the team. So really just being able to hit the three ball, which I think he'll do decently throughout the year, moving the ball. But a lot of what I want to see from him is on defense. I think that was a lot of their focus this offseason with Joseph Dedmon Ariza. They brought in all defense. And if he can just be a solid defender, he gets a little lost on screens sometimes, but overall I like what he brings on that end. So he doesn't need to blow me away and improve in any sort of way. And I think that's kind of the thing with the Warriors is that he reached a point where it's like, okay, this kid's pretty good, but then there wasn't much more improving from there. Mm-hmm. And he didn't become a great player, but I think he did become a good starting small forward that can do a little bit of everything well, but nothing amazingly. And I think there's no like jump that I'm expecting from Harrison Barnes, really.
That makes sense. Who do you feel would threaten to make an all-star game from the roster?
I think it's going to be De'Aaron Fox. There's a lot of
baby John Wall
guards in the West, right? yeah. And Fox he really took over last year, being able to do everything. I believe he was at like 8 assists a game, getting steals left and right, really setting the pace of the team. And we mentioned Buddy kind of being the number one scorer, but Fox just does it on both ends. I mean, I think this guy can be an all NBA defender at one point. Hmm. I think that Fox is the way to go there.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the, it's just that speed and that that attacking the basket, you know, that's what gets so much of the focus, and deservedly so. He's one of those players where when you see him driving, you're just like, it's, if you know, you're in fear because it's like he's going to drive and score, but also how is somebody going to go that fast and like stop and not totally destroy their body? But he's just this, again, I mean, I jokingly, you know, say baby John Wall, but it's like that, you know, he's got that athleticism and burst, and that's something that you know that's gonna make you be a good player in the league. And that's why down the road, once you sort of see some of these older players cycling out, he could be getting that chance to be one of those top tier guards in the league, or viewed as such.
What I love about Fox is the fact that he is really learning how to control it. You know what I mean? It's like the speed. I when he first came to the league, it was like the speed was just like Sonic the Hedgehog 100%, which means there was like, you know, some bad turnovers and, you know, maybe dribbling to the teeth of the defense too fast. But once he started getting it, it was a trip to see him like going 1,000 miles per hour and then bring it down to 60 just to kind of whip it past the Buddy Hield, who, you know, with the gravity Fox created going to the rim. Now you got Hield getting open shots. And then when you got the athletic big man trailing in transition, it became a thing where it's like, are the Sacramento Kings always getting downhill at all times? It was terrifying. So that's definitely one of the reasons that I think the Kings are a team to watch for sure. Where do you feel the Kings are going to, I guess, potentially, you know, with the West so stacked, where do you feel confident? Like, I see them competing for a certain amount of wins, and what kind of seeding are you looking at?
I think we're hoping to be about 500. We were 39 wins last year. The Kings were two games off of that mark, and it would just be great for the Kings to get there. And as much as we all want to make playoffs in Sacramento in this 13-year drought, I think that they are the 9 seed this year. I think they can compete for the 8th seed, and they definitely will be. But I don't know who falls out. People saying Golden State.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Thank you for being sane, Brendan. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we respect sanity here.
Yeah. San Antonio is the one that I, but for 22 years of being in the playoffs, they have a, not a very modern roster, but they have a lot of good players and they have the best coach in the game. So I don't feel comfortable betting against them. So that's why I'm going with the 9 seed this year. I think that they're more complete, the Kings are, and deeper than some of the teams of like Dallas and New Orleans that'll also sort of be in the race a little bit there. I like Sacramento better than those, but I think they're going to be slightly out of playoffs here.
Wait. You like Sacramento better than New Orleans?
I do. I don't like the spacing of New Orleans.
Oh, that's going to be a great game between the two of those teams because so much young athleticism everywhere.
Yeah, those front courts matching up, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, New Orleans plays fast, too. Those are going to be entertaining games for sure. I just don't think that that their depth is on the same level. I think the Kings go 10 deep really well, and it's that spacing for New Orleans that I question a little bit. I think teams are going to be able to sink the floor against them a little bit there.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So I just want to kind of just shout some West Conference teams at you. And I just want to get your quick feedback basically saying I like the matchup or I don't like the matchup, and I'm just kind of curious because you have a team now that is giving me sort of like, you know, Mark Jackson, you know, last season with the Warriors vibes, where this team could like make some real noise or they could just not make the playoffs depending on we have no idea yet, but it's interesting. So I want to start off with the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, okay. So Portland's another team where it's like, okay, they could drop out of the playoffs potentially, but they also overperform in the regular season every single year. I think losing Nurkic is huge, but they would have the two best players in a matchup in Dame and CJ. And I think I'm higher on Dame than some people are. So it's really that backcourt pairing that I can't get past. And I think they're, their offense, Portland's offense, is going to be good this year. So, you know, in a season series, I think they'll win like one of the games, Sacramento. But at Portland, I mean, I think clearly the better team.
Okay, and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
This one's interesting because it's obviously their offense is Karl Anthony Towns. You know, they started shooting a lot more threes, and the Kings struggled against them last year, particularly Towns. Obviously, with, I mean, Cauley-Stein having to guard him. Have fun with that one this year, by the way. So
that's what we got Kevon Looney for. Let's all settle down.
I mean, you got Draymond, you know. You got, and by the way, I think that Looney should be starting on the team, even when Cauley-Stein is healthy. But we'll see how that goes. Minnesota is another team that I should have mentioned with Dallas and the Pelicans. I just think that they're missing another guy. They haven't shown it to me yet. I like Karl Anthony Towns on one end of the ball. On the defensive end, he doesn't really exist much for how big he is. He does not do what he should be able to on defense.
He said exist.
He doesn't. Like, he does not do what he should be able to do on defense. Yeah, and their wing defense is okay. I don't know. I like the matchup for the Kings, and I think Minnesota is just going to be in that same sort of range right below Sacramento.
Well, you identified the Spurs as that sort of team that probably has a claim on the eighth spot of that last team in. How do you think the Kings would match up against the Spurs if it comes down to, you know, that matchup determining who gets that last spot in the playoffs?
Yeah, interestingly, the Kings were 3-0 against the Spurs last year, but I still don't like the matchup that well, especially if it came down to a final game. I mean, partially, yes, I can't ignore that, but the perimeter defense of that team, when a lot of the offense for the Kings comes from the perimeter, And like I said, they're not traditional, so they really slow the game down. And the Kings have struggled in half court offense. So they fared well against them last year, but I would be worried if it came to a final game.
Yeah, and let's go. Let's, you know what? Maybe let's keep it in Texas. We'll go down a little bit, you know, kind of the opposite direction, though, in terms of talent. What about the Mavericks? Because, you know, they've got one of the best young players in the game in Luka Doncic. And, you know, they've had a so-so offseason, but they're probably.
Look at Porzingis. That helps. Yeah.
But how do you see, you know, there seemed like another team that's in that kind of cluster of teams with interesting pieces, with talent, but you just don't know if they can break in. So how would you see the Kings and the Mavericks kind of matching up?
Yeah, so that one is definitely interesting, and I struggle to separate them a little bit, but it's going to be more so about how does Porzingis come back from that injury. Going to be curious, but aside from Porzingis and Doncic, which don't get me wrong, is a great young duo, I don't like much of the rest of the team. Tim Hardaway Jr. doesn't really do it for me. I like a Jalen Brunson, but he's still a young point guard. Seth Curry, a brother of one of your guys, is decent there, but I don't see much of what else they have going on.
So you're not worried about Boban Marjanovic?
I'm not.
John Wick 3? He was amazing.
It's true. If he's behind a camera, maybe if there's some acting competition, I might be worried. But no, yeah, I just worry about the depth of Dallas because, like I said, I mean, I think the Kings are one of the deeper teams in the league, and I think that they'd be able to run these guys off the floor in a way.
Speaking of actors, the Los Angeles Lakers, they are a heavily front court driven team for sure this year, with AD, LeBron, and of course Dwight Howard there. I knew he was going to laugh. But what I love about the Kings is, you know, the Kings kind of have sort of an old school feel to them, and they have a pretty sizable front court of their own. How'd you feel about that matchup?
Marvin Bagley guarding Anthony Davis scares me the living hell out of me. I don't want anything to do with that. And the Kings defensive rebounding has not been good as much as the offensive has been. And as much as I was saying I like Harrison Barnes, how is he gonna do on LeBron James? The likes of those guys.
Have you heard of 3-1?
Yeah, you know.
3-1, you mean the number of titles Steph Curry has, the number of titles against LeBron that LeBron has against Curry?
3-1 is a very flexible number. You can use it so many different ways.
All right, just making sure.
Okay, so that brings us to, you know, probably the main event of these questions here, because we know that you're pretty sure you can, like, take out the trash teams. And, you know, with a team like the Lakers, that this is two stars at certain points. You know what I mean? For the Kings at such a young juncture. But talking about the Golden State Warriors, who have, like, a real youth movement going on. I mean, Steph Curry is 31 years old, and he's the oldest player on the team. So, like, you know, talk about going young. How do you feel about that matchup, especially before Klay Thompson returns?
So I actually wrote about this, and, you know, last year it was 4-0 in Golden State, but it was a 12-point total margin in all those games. Those were all great games. One of them had Buddy Hield getting chewed out for hitting a 3-point shot that almost brought him back in. And then he didn't take the next one where he could have won the game.
That was classic. That was classic.
Oh, that was so frustrating. Another one had, I think, a ball got wedgied between the rim and the backboard. And there was a jump ball at half court with like 5 seconds left with Golden State up. It was just, they were all super close games. And, hey, you mentioned you got a youth movement. To be honest, your team kind of sucks after Curry, D'Lo, and Green.
The word has traveled. Like, oh, no.
Listen, I mean, your offense is going to be okay, right, with Curry and Russell. You're going to stagger them. But I don't think Draymond can guard 5 different guys. And
let's see. I'm uncertain.
Ask the Houston Rockets if he can guard 5 guys.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And then one of the big weaknesses of the Warriors, even when they had everybody, was their turnovers, right? Yeah. I mean, they were 21st in turnovers last year. And the Kings, that's how they get their transition offense. I mean, the second most forced opponent turnovers last year. To me, I mean, I think I'm taking the Kings 3-1 in the season series. In the playoffs, Golden State's winning. Regular season series, I'm taking Sacramento.
I guess my question is,
and this is just without Klay Thompson,
if we're just going, you know, like position for position here, you know, we got Steph versus Fox, which is, you know, obviously I'd pick Steph, but if Fox was going to get his too, then you go into the shooting guards, which is, you know, D'Lo and Buddy. I'm taking D'Lo there. I don't know how you guys feel.
I am very out on Buddy Hield, so I would out definitely on Buddy go with Hield? D'Lo.
What happened?
Very much so. Yeah, just, I don't know.
The man can shoot.
Yeah, but what else?
And that is very fair, to be honest. We just had a very big discussion on this on our show the other day and got a lot of crap for it. But he doesn't really play make, you know? The other thing is that he, like the way that I think Klay is the perfect complement to Steph, I think that Buddy is the perfect complement to Fox, because Buddy is a track star. He runs insanely well. So I think that he allows Fox to also have that identity of the super high-paced offense. So I agree, though. I do think that D'Lo has that matchup. But my thought is that, you know, I think that Golden State is staggering in having one of Curry and Russell on at all times.
So you want to see the rookie, Jordan Poole, who's, like, killing it, except for that last game when he played poorly?
He has been, by the way. Jordan surprised me. He has surprised the heck out of me. But Corey Joseph's the backup point guard here, and I'm kind of okay with Corey Joseph guarding D'Angelo in the second
game. Yeah, well, actually, that'd be a pretty good matchup. You're right. Yeah, that'd be good. It would definitely be a good matchup. If we get to the front court.
And the Harrison Barnes revenge game.
This is the first time Harrison Barnes actually gets the revenge, because I'm looking at our small forest right now, and quite frankly, it's – you know, we actually touched on this, like, I think a month ago or so on your podcast when you were, you know, asking about it. And I was like, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, we're seeing what's happening, and I'm a little worried. I mean, you know, Glenn Robinson III, little dog, as we call him around here, GR3. He had, like, the one good game. I believe the second game was pretty okay. But between then, hasn't showed us much. Alphonso McKinney, we have a soft spot for, you know, still missing corner threes. And it's kind of a thing where you're just like, can no one hit a wide open jumper or play defense at the small forward position? And I mean, for as much grief as we gave Harrison Barnes, like, you can't just, like, leave him alone. Well, you can't leave him alone. We saw that too. I don't know. You know what? Maybe, like, the small forwards will just run to each other and knock each other out at midcourt. I mean, it's basically a toss up, I feel, on certain nights by Harrison Barnes.
The guy I've talked about this on another episode. I wrote about it. I think once Alec Burks can play, again, not saying he's, you know, an elite small forward, but he's someone who I look at, especially in terms of the offense he could generate, as someone who could, you know, kind of at least keep things going, keeping other teams honest. And I'd like to see him out there with whether it's Curry or Russell, because I think he'll get some good looks, and he showed that he can make some of them, which is, you know, for what they can, you know, the give to someone in terms of a salary and playing time, that's about all you can ask for. He's a little undersized, though. That's the
so you're
that's
saying the we're desperate. Is that what you're saying?
And he was just on Sacramento for the second.
I forgot about that.
And I was excited somewhat bringing him in, even though they let go of Shumpert, who's kind of the culture setter and the vet of that team. Yeah, they didn't really give him the opportunity that I wanted him to, because in the limited minutes, he did look pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then kind of went to Corey Brewer over him.
Ooh.
But
that's not a ringing endorsement.
No, but I didn't feel like they gave him enough opportunity. I saw a quote at one point that I think he said he was, like, ready to replace KD. And I just couldn't help but laugh. Yeah.
Hey, he's ready.
My dad's a huge Warrior fan. I'm originally from the Bay Area, and I was just on the phone with him before this, and he was like, yeah, I just read an article that saying that the Golden State Warriors small forwards are the worst position group in the entire NBA. Like, yeah, I kind of see it.
Well, congratulations, Warriors Twitter. You got your wish. KD left, and this is what you get.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So then, you know, with that travesty mentioned, moving on to the power forward and center, you know, obviously I love having Draymond Green, future Hall of Famer, and Kevon Looney, who, you know, obviously I think is the better player over Willie Cauley-Stein, although I hope Willie flourishes here, but, you know, Looney is that guy. So, quite frankly, we saw a little bit of it last year, you know, with Bagley and Giles going at it with Dre and Loon. That's a pretty even matchup. And it's scary because I was like, wait a minute, if it's already even and these guys are this young, it's going to get worse and worse as time goes on. So I'd be very interested to see who comes out on top of that.
Yeah, and Giles has promise, like I said. I mean, but he's the guy on the outside looking in the rotation right now. Like, he's going to be the one that needs to play his way in and take over Rashawn Holmes in a way. But and Bagley, I don't know still. Like, I mean, a lot of times you see the jump year two to year three rather than one to two, kind of like Fox did. But yeah, I mean, he's just still a really raw talent. There's a lot of upside. He's got great length and athleticism and all this. But it's just one of those you don't know what you're getting each night. He seems like a little bit more of a willing passer. But I think that I'm still taking Golden State.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that you feel that way because, you know, I obviously didn't watch the most Kings basketball last year, but I certainly watched our matchups. And he was giving Draymond trouble, like legit feet work in the post trouble. And I was like, how old is this guy? Like, yeah. These are like dream shakes.
Right, yeah, and he shows that sometimes. So I didn't look at Bagley's numbers specifically against Golden State, you know, and he tended to show up for some of the bigger games. So maybe if he still sees Golden State as one of those. I know KD was his idol, and that's why he wears number 35.
Oh, really?
And I know one of the games against Golden State, I know Bagley, I think he got ripped three different times going up. And then one time he finally brought it through and had KD get contact on his arm, and KD sort of patted him on the back like a you finally.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool to see. But I think that could be a reason that Bagley was really showing up for those games. Mm-hmm. And it's not really an effort thing necessarily, but it's just about if he gets off to this hot start or not. Like yesterday, actually, he was giving Gobert some work.
Wait, say it again slowly for our producer who's a huge Gobert stan. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, Gobert was struggling yesterday.
And on defense, too, he already struggles on offense. But then if you throw a truck like, wow, we got the new Sean Bradley. Sean Bradley
Brady is going to delete all of this, yeah. If you know that.
Yeah, he ended up with a flagrant foul on Bagley. Like, they were chirping at each other. They were going at it. It was really fun, actually. Oh, by the way, it wasn't aired anywhere. Like, I hate that the NBA is doing this, where it's like, hey, you can't find this game. It pretty much doesn't exist.
Just only in our hearts and in our dreams.
Right, and maybe you can find, like, the stream of the Jumbotron.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, it's going to be a hellacious matchup for the Warriors at any rate. I can't wait to watch the game, but it's not like I can't wait to watch it like I used to. It goes like, oh, yeah, guaranteed wins. Now it's like, well, this may be a learning experience for, you know, our young guys to see what it's like to see when really good young guys are coming to kick your butt. You know, I think they'll get to see that feeling. Maybe go back to their college days when, you know, it was like, wait a minute, this guy isn't that much older than me, but he's better than me. Hopefully they can rise to the occasion and compete, because I don't know if you saw what happened to Jay Poole last night against the Lakers rookie when he crossed up so bad, his ankle bone, he had flew to the audience.
Yeah,
I think Jack Nicholson has it in his pocket. I don't know what's going to happen when Fox comes through with that sick handle. I'm a little worried for our guy's ankles, but it's, you know, a great learning experience. I guess my question to close it all up would be this. If the Kings don't make the playoffs, will the fan base start to turn and say, what's going on? Or are you guys still in that honeymoon stage where, like, hey, it's all good, we're still young?
You know, I think they turned so long ago that anyone that's still with the team is kind of riding it out at this point. As long as, you know, everybody, there's a good feeling around the team and everyone is happy, there's clearly progression and they're around that same 39, I think they could even get away with 36, 37 wins this year and still qualify as a positive season, as long as you see progression in the right way from Fox and Bagley and the guys feel like they're meshing together, if Giles has a somewhat healthy season. So I don't think that it's playoffs or bust. I think there is a good amount of the fan base that is going to feel that way and be upset. But this is one of the more exciting and actually competitive teams that Sacramento has seen in quite some time. So I don't think the fan base is going to go anywhere, even if they are saying, if we don't make playoffs, we're going to riot.
And I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, the Kings, they have their pick next year too.
I believe that they do. Yeah. Because I know last year they did not end up with Boston.
Yeah.
I actually had just tweeted out, imagine if this team had Brandon
Clark. Oh, that'd be nasty. what was the last team to make the playoffs from Sacramento? What year was that?
It was 13 years ago. So it was 2003. Is that right? Or 2006?
No, 2004. No?
I don't know if I can do my math. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I think it was one of those Chris Webber teams. It was like when they, and didn't they lose to the Mavericks in the the first round or the second round or something like that?
Hang on. It was 06. They lost in the first round.
Oh, okay.
06. Okay.
Rick Adelman was the coach, former Warriors coach. I'm going to take a quick look at a basketball reference to see who's on the roster. We got Sharif Abdul-Rahim, Mike Bibby, Francisco Garcia, Kevin Martin, Christy. Brad Miller. And Peja. Oh, yeah. Peja was still on the team. Peja Stojakovic, Bonzi Wells, Meta World Peace.
And he's on the team now. Yeah,
right. So actually not the worst team. I would just wonder hypothetically, if you had to take this year's squad versus that year's squad, 7-game series, what you got?
Oof. You know, I think that this team could kind of run that other team off the floor. Like, I mean, just because it's a different play style, I think that this year's team would outscore that other one. And that's really what this Kings is. Like, I think they're going to be able to score with the best of them. For the most part, it's about being able to stop the other team.
Oh, whoa. Hey, you buried the lead a little bit on one player who played, looks like, the final 40 games with that Sacramento team. A certain player by the name of Meta World
Peace.
Man, we'll give you a chance to reconsider your answer. Like, now that we've reminded you that Ron Artest, I mean Meta World Peace, aka the greatest thing to come out of Queensbridge that wasn't a rapper, you could reconsider your answer if you'd like.
Yeah, just out of the slight chance that World Peace hears this. Upset with me, I'll say that the old Kings.
Very white, man.
There we are.
Very white, man.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up here at Dr. Tom and Gold Blooded Kings podcast for Golden State of Mind. Thank you again, Mr. Brendan Nunes, for joining us. Again, you can check him out, his podcast, at Kings Pulse. It's pretty great. I was on there. They treated me very fairly. They only made fun of the Warriors for losing Kevin Durant just a little bit, but it was okay. Thank you again, Brendan. Is there anything that you want to let the Warriors fans know? Since you are from the Bay, and even though you may have changed your allegiances, is there anything you want to tell us going forward?
You know, I'm still rooting for the Warriors. I think they're actually, from my point of view, going to be more entertaining to watch this year since there's more question marks. And, like, it was just, it got a little bit repetitive to kind of just watch Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay do whatever they want every single night. So I'm a little interested. I think Curry's going to have the scoring title this year and going to go off. I'm excited.
That was very kind of you. Thank you so much for that. You know, Dr. Tom's funny, said we're repetitive because like, I feel like breathing air is repetitive, but I don't ever get tired of it. It's weird, you know?
That's true.
I missed the championships already. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you guys soon. Take care.